ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखय चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यानामभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतारकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातम् सर्वज्ञानाधारितं तं सजीवम् सारवैतं सावधूतं परिदलासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादा सर्वशाखान्विताश्च. हे कृष्णा प्रकाशसिन्धो दीनमनो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकलाकान्त राधाकमलनमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाप्रपतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत श्रीवासवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण. सो thank you all for your enthusiastic participation. So today we will talk about what is yoga in its true sense, and technically where does bhakti yoga stand, where does all the other yoga stand, and where does bhakti yoga stand. And we will also try to understand how this is applied in every layer of our body, mind, intelligence and the soul, how this yoga penetrates us, and how we, what is the goal. So this will make it very clear. So the word yoga comes from the root word yuj. So yuj means to join. It's like it's not physical. So yuj means here to join the supreme with the spirit soul. So here joining means like uniting the family. For an impersonalist, joining means merging. But for a devotee, joining means getting his relationship back. So, for a devotee, yuj means, we understand it very clearly, to regain our lost relationship with Krishna. Right? So that's the understanding of the word yoga. And yoga, in the other terminology, according to Patanjali Yoga Sutra, the other word for yoga, yoga means discipline. Atha yoga anushasanam. Yoga means to follow discipline. Yoga means to follow anushasana, to follow the previous acharyas. This is also yoga. Means yoga means what they have done to connect themselves to the Lord. For example, Prabhupada, in some of his classes, it is told very wonderfully. He said, these great acharyas. So, our great acharyas, they established these wonderful deities. Are they stone? Are they, why are we simply doing that? No, this is the Lord. This is the Lord. But the thing is, it takes time for us to realize that this is the Lord. This is the Lord himself standing right there. And I can achieve the highest perfection of life right here. Because as we grow in bhakti, the same Lord appears in different ways. Isn't it? Now Tukaram also saw the same Pandarinath. The other devotees also saw the same Pandarinath. Isn't it? What was the difference? He could see, he is the Supreme Lord, not different, standing right there. The others couldn't see. Isn't it? They were saying, oh, he's there, but I cannot connect to him. Right? Yoga means to establish that deep connection. But it has different levels. That's why in the yoga, it is called as the yoga ladder. Different levels of understanding. Right? So now we will try to understand, before we
Go ahead.
What are the things you will take away? How bhakti is the topmost yoga system and how you can improve your chanting, right? Because you should know how the mind works. Today we will talk about how actually the mind works and how we can actually dodge the mind while chanting, isn't it? While we chant, everything is done, isn't it? Cooking, cleaning, washing, everything is done while chanting, right? We need to get that out. We need to use this Hare Krishna mantra should penetrate the mind. How do we do that? So we will talk about that in detail. But first, we need to understand, before you attack the enemy, you need to understand who the enemy is. Or rather, who are we? What are we trying to do? What is this mantra trying to do? Where are we applying it? Where do we stand? Right? Like I was earlier I was speaking to somebody and he was reading from some big guru who was also worshipping Radha Krishna, and he was saying, you should chant and cry. Right? So you use glycerin? Right? No, you should have emotion. You get emotion, but emotion how do you get? So this cannot be artificial. This is Sahajayism, isn't it? Oh, you get emotion. No, proper taught us bhakti as a perfect science. It is not for fools. It is not just for sentimentalists. If you go to any yoga class, that's why Prabhupada did not, it's not that Prabhupada did not like yoga. Prabhupada did not like the philosophy that these people were using. So, oh, bhakti means some sentiment. No, bhakti means not some sentiment. Bhakti means the sentiment of the soul. Bhakti is actually the activity of the liberated soul. It's the topmost spiritual activity. So, the first thing we have to understand here, Jai, Shri Gaurita Ki, Jai. So, the first thing we have to understand here is who we are. So, human body is made up of a soul. The external body that we have is made up of five layers. I think you have heard about this, isn't it? Pancha Kosha. Right? We have Pancha Tattva, isn't it? So here, Pancha Kosha. So Pancha Kosha means our body has these five layers. Now, the outer covering that we have, this body, which is made up of food, it is called Annamaya Kosha. This is explained in detail in the Taittiriya Upanishad. Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahma tells his son, Bhrigu, to find out who you are. Bhrigu comes and first his realization is that Sarva Kalvidam Brahma, like everything is Brahma. And who am I? I am this Anna, Anna Brahma. Because what am I? I am just a transformation of food. This body is a transformation of food, isn't it? All of you have eaten like rice, dal, sabji, we don't know where it is, right? Which is the rice? Where did it go? What did it become? We are not sure. Right? So, this body is a transformation of food. There is a continuous transfer of food, isn't it? And that is what is this body. Right? But am I that food? No. Isn't it? So, Brahma says to Bhrigu, yes, this Anna Brahma is nice. Realize further. Realize further. So, then he goes back. And then he comes back saying, Pranam Kalvidam Brahma, that everything is behind this body, there is prana. Isn't it? Now, you can live without food, like tomorrow is Ekadashi. I'm sure most of you will fast or feast, I don't know. So, actually, we should fast. Technically, we should fast. Right? So, it is, you can live without food and water for a day. Isn't it? Maybe 2 days. Like Anna Hazare, I don't know how many days it is. So, but can you live without air? Prana? No. I can hold my air. Let's do some small exercise. Let's make it a little interesting. Take out your two fingers of your hand and put it below your nostrils and breathe out. Slowly, regular breathing. Now observe. Are they same? Are the two nostrils breathing the same?
No.
If the two nostrils are breathing the same, you are a yogi. Okay, I am not trying to insult anybody. Oh my god. No. But you see, there is a difference, isn't it? The right nostril is called as Pingala or Surya Nadi. The left nostril is called as Ida or Chandra Nadi. When, according to Ayurveda, when your body is active, when your body is active, you want to work, you want to eat, when you're hungry, your right nostril becomes active. That is called Pingala or Surya Nadi. When your body is trying to rest, your left nostril becomes active. That is Ida or Chandra Nadi. Right? So when you wake up in the morning, you can check within 15-20 minutes of waking up. If you find if your left nostril is heavy, that means your sleep is not good enough. After some time, if the right nostril becomes activated, that means you have slept well. So this is the thing. So actually this, every 3 to 4 hours your nostrils alternate. In the daytime mostly the right nostril is active, and in the night time mostly the left nostril is active. This is a very good way to test. So the basic point I am trying to explain here is this body, this physical body, right, now is acting, isn't it? You know, this hydraulic movement is caused by the balance of air. It is caused by the air pressure. If you are depressed, isn't it? You cannot act much. Isn't it? Depressed. You have certain pressure, isn't it? And you are hyper, your body is acting too fast. Isn't it? It's just air. But what controls this air? Prabhupada said, then the higher, I'll come to that point next, but the higher, then Brahma tells Bhrigu, go realize further. Then he says, Manah Khalvidam Brahma, that this actually, it is not the prana, but Manah, the mind, which controls everything. Because without the mind, without desire, there is no cause for existence. So desire is the cause for existence. This mind, which has the desire, it directs the prana. Now Prabhupada explains this beautifully. This Panchakosha, Prabhupada explains as Brahma Puchya Pratishta. In the 5th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, the Prabhupada explains Brahma Puchya Pratishta, 5 layers of realization. So at that point, Prabhupada says something really, really beautiful. No medical science can explain this. I did my master's in yoga, and if you read, you know, one of my professors who used to come to teach us anatomy, you know, in yoga, used to get a person from a medical college. He was, happened to be a PhD and happened to be like a religious person. And he said that science, if you put your eyes there, you know, it will form an image. But who perceives that image? Science cannot explain. Similarly, science cannot explain how is thought produced. Science can only measure it from when it is in the neurons, isn't it? You put your, what do you call that, pulses, you know, you put all the tests. But how does it emanate from the mind and how is it transferred into the body, into the neuron? Science doesn't know. But Prabhupada explains that the thought generated in the mind, this is in the Bhagavad Gita, is converted, this thought is converted into action by prana. And we'll see in the subsequent slides how Prabhupada explains how this thought is converted into action. Prabhupada says that this, we are not acting with our body, but one who is acting is actually the mind. The mind and intelligence are deciding and the body is just acting. The prana and the body, these are the actuating factors. Very beautiful. So then he says, Brahma tells our Bhrigu, that Mano is not the highest. Go and realize further. So he says, then he comes back and says, Vijnanam Kalvidam Brahma. That intelligence is higher than the mind. That controls everything. And finally he says, no. Then he says, Anandam Kalvidam Brahma. Then actually the soul. Right? So he establishes. Now the concept that we have to take away from here is that this is how our body acts. We have a gross body, isn't it? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. And then we have a subtle body, which is consisting of the mind, intelligence and ego. I had a very deep discussion with His Grace Gopi Paranandana Prabhu. How many of you know him? Some of you know him. He is the one who translated the 11th and 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Very, very wonderful devotee, the perfect gentleman I've ever met in my life. I asked him that we say 1/10,000 the tip of the soul, isn't it? The Atma is 1/10,000 the tip of the soul. Then also there is the mind, isn't it? But where is the mind exactly? Isn't it? Is it in the toes? Where can I hit him? Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, you should beat the mind 100 times with the shoes before you sleep at night, because mind is so horrible, isn't it? But where is he? Should I hit my toes or head or eyes or nose or what? Right? He explained a beautiful point. He said, the heart is the seat of the Paramatma, right? And also the Atma. He said that the soul, the tiny soul, means he is materially immeasurable. 1/10,000 the tip of hair, right? Means he is materially immeasurable. He is covered like a small bubble. Around him, he is surrounded by the subtle body because it covers time and space, isn't it? Now this subtle body, if you can imagine like a soap bubble, you can imagine a soap bubble, right? And in that soap bubble, within that, at the center of it, imagine a tiny light and place it in your heart, right? So that is actually like the small subtle body, and within that is the soul. Now the soul, through that, is reflecting. The soul is actually giving the consciousness, and that is spread throughout this body, but is reflected in the mind. The mind is actually reflecting the consciousness in a perverted way, through ego, because the mind is now seeing through ego, right? So here, this gross body, the senses and the mind, are feeding the gross body, the pancha gyanendriyas, right? We have pancha gyanendriyas. What are they?
Eyes, ears,
right? Nose, skin, and tongue, right? Fine. And these gyanendriyas are actually feeding whom? Feeding the pulses are carried by the vayu, the air. And Prabhupada says all mental problems are caused by derangement of air. Can you believe it? So, and this is fed to the mind. Now the mind actually then works with the intelligence, and then through the air activates it back, sends the signals back what is to be done. So the vayu is actually interacting. Now Prabhupada says, now this verse you should read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 6th chapter, 9th shloka. So Prabhupada says here, now listen carefully. The movements of the body are first generated from the heart, because heart is where the mind is, the soul is, the man means the heart. Okay? And the desire is reflected from there, from the heart. Okay, let me give you an example. You have invested $5 million in stock market. New York is close by, right? NYC. Suppose it crashes like 2008 and your $5 million becomes $5. When you hear the news, what happens to you?
Heart attack.
Your heart crashes, right? Right. Wall Street crashes, your wall of the heart also crashes. So what you hear directly affects your heart. You know, I'm just giving a material example. But when you hear, directly the effect is here, because the perseverance, it's in the movement of the body is coming from there. Right? So that is why we focus on attentive hearing. Okay, we'll talk about that. And all activities of the body are made possible by the senses, powered by the 10 kinds of air within the body. You know, Prabhupada is explaining this in the purport. It's not in the shloka, it's in the purport. Now, here is what Prabhupada has to say. This is not in the shloka, believe it or not. Prabhupada explains in the purport from the Upanishad. He says, the main air passing through the nose in breathing is called prana. So the prana means, if you see here, up till the upper part of the chest, okay? Here is called prana. The air which passes through the rectum, downward air, morning, right? What you pass, stool, urine, everything. The downward air is called as apana. The air which adjusts the foodstuffs within the stomach is called samana. Actually, Vaishvanara, Krishna says, right? Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashrita. This Agni, Vaishvanara. So this is the main Agni, the overall, this air which power, that Agni is called as Samana. And the air which passes through the throat and the stoppage of which constitutes suffocation is called Udana. The total air which circulates throughout the body, which balances all the airs, is called Vyana. Now, subtler than these five airs, there are others also. That which facilitates opening of the eyes, mouth, etc. Is called Naga. The air which increases appetite is called Krakara. The air which helps contraction is called Kurma. The air which helps relaxation by opening the mouth wide is called Devadatta. And the air which helps sustenance is called Dhananjaya. Isn't it beautiful, isn't it? So, you see the air, how these different airs. By the way, if you have seen Brahmins, when they eat in the lunch, if the food is not offered yet, what do? They do Chitravada, if you have seen. They put water around it. And then what do? They take the five grains. And then they don't chew it. They gulp it. Right? Five times. Om Pranaya Swaha, Apanaya Swaha, Samanaya Swaha, Udanaya Swaha, Vyanaya Swaha. Why? Because these five airs are representatives of Lord Vishnu. So offering it directly, if you are not offered the food yet, the last offering that you can do, of course we do Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, but the Brahmins, what they do? They take it five times, they gulp it, and these five, when you gulp, these five airs, they are actually representatives, they are directly Lord Vishnu. And when they accept it, is offered. You should not taste or chew it, it's directly
swallowed.
Yeah, swallowed. That's all. So, these airs are actually Lord Vishnu. So, when you see Radha Krishna Pranamuram, this prana is also Krishna. I'm just saying, if you see, our very existence, every function of our body, Krishna personally is acting. Can you imagine? That Krishna is actually doing everything for us. And we are totally unaware. So, being conscious, you know, the yoga process is to be conscious of everything. Right, conscious of everything, that Krishna is everything, you know. So, then Prabhupada says, all these airs are generated from the center of the heart, which is one only, so that one air becomes into 10. This central energy is superior energy of the Lord, who is seated within the heart with the soul of the body, who acts under the guidance of the Lord. Amazing, isn't it? So the super soul is actually the one who is commanding your body. You are there. I saw one sign billboard. Best rent engine. So the more rent you pay, the better body you get. Isn't it? So if you have done good karma in your previous life, you know, you get good body, good mind, everything. So whatever rent you have paid or whatever agreement you have done in your previous life. Now, Prabhupada says, now it's very important. Now we have understood like this, there is the gross body and in between there is the subtle body, right? So the gross body and the subtle body. But in between who acts? This Vayu, he acts. So even in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, if you read, Krishna says, pranapane samakritva pranayama prayanaha. The goal of yoga is, okay, let me ask you one question. When you are angry, right? How is your breathing?
Short.
Very fast. Right? You are breathing? Short breathing, very fast breathing, isn't it? You, right? But when you are relaxed, how is your breathing? Okay, let's relax. Isn't it? Your breathing is slow. If you correlate that, breath and thoughts are related, isn't it? Breath and thoughts are related. So the process of Ashtanga Yoga, which is just before Bhakti Yoga, the process of Ashtanga Yoga is to control the breath so as to control the thought. In fact, to make the mind still, to make the mind thoughtless. But they think that is the end of it. No, no. We say, no, that is only start. Right? So liberation means one stops all material activities. So Prabhupada says there in the 6th chapter, one should discipline the mental activities. Very beautiful. He uses the word. Now, Buddhi Yoga, also, now here, when the mind is controlled, when the mind is peaceful, Krishna says, Jitatmanaha prashantasya param atma samahitah. If your mind is peaceful, jitat manah prashantasya, when the mind is peaceful, param atma samahitah, it is said, and in one purport I read that, I was thrilled when I read that. Prabhupada says, when somebody makes a sincere attempt to control material desires, to make the mind peaceful, he is actually trying to make the mind peaceful, the super soul is immediately awakened. Means he is trying to control the mind, he is trying to follow the process. And he immediately starts giving instructions. And that time, because till then the soul will not listen. He is not listening to the supreme super soul. He is giving him all kinds of instructions, but he is not listening. But when the mind is calm, the super soul is able to give instructions to the, and the intelligence, because the intelligence and soul, the intelligence is able to understand, oh, this is right, this is wrong. So that's why Prabhupada says, buddhi yoga, means using intelligence, taking higher instructions. So he speaks through the scriptures, he speaks through the mouth of devotees, he speaks through the mouth of guru, and he is himself right there. So he is creating situations for devotees. And if we are intelligent enough, we will see, oh, the Lord is putting me in this situation. Just like Parikshit Maharaj. Oh, he wants me to die in 7 days. There must be some greater purpose. Immediately the Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken. Isn't it? So the devotee understands the purpose behind anything, because he uses his intelligence. Now, let's put this in a nice structural way. So our senses and the body, right? Senses and the gross body, and there is breath within there, like, which is controlling. So then there is the mind, intelligence and ego. The mind is right now taking counseling from the ego. Anything we decide, what does ego mean? Taking counseling from ego mean self-centered. How can I be benefited? I means here the body. The body means identification with body, friends, relatives, country. Right? Country, we are identifying with country. We are watching cricket, right? World Cup. So identify with country, or identify with the ball, or identify with some Pepsi or whatever. So all these things are identifying. So we are thinking these are things that will make us happy. So that is the ego. But then there is the intelligence, which is constantly, when this intelligence is fixed, when the mind is fixed, when the intelligence is awakened, we are always aware we are spirit souls when we deal with anything. Right? And we keep Krishna in the center. Your thought process in your mind, when you act, it is not ego, but if you keep Krishna in the center, you are dealing with it in a different way. Alright? So, but here, we are trying to understand the general structure. Then there is the you, that is the soul, and then there is super soul. So this is our overall structure. Now, what a yogi tries to do, what the yogi is trying to do is, he is trying to follow the process of yoga. And in that process of yoga, he follows the Ashtanga Yoga. Isn't it? Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Something interesting I have to tell you, which very nice, benefits of this process of yoga. Yama, Niyama. We follow 4 regulative principles, isn't it? What are they? No meat eating, no sleeping, right? No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, right? We follow this one. Now in the Ashtanga Yoga process also, this Yama Niyama is also very important, without which you cannot even start. What are Yama? Means Ahimsa, Satya, Asteya, Aparigraha, Brahmacharya, Yamaha. It is said at any point of time, these five should not be given up, these principles. What are the benefits of these? Ahimsa. Of course, Prabhupada defines Ahimsa in the Bhagavad Gita as Ahimsa means living a spiritual life. But ahimsa also means non-violence. So Prabhupada says to live a material life is violence. That's the highest definition. Of course, here ahimsa means non-violence, means with body, word and the mind. Manasa, vacha, kaya. Body, mind and words. So you are being non-violent. Each one has its benefits. So if you follow Ahimsa, you can tell meat eaters, you know, what is the benefit? Actually, it is said by meat eating, one loses mercy. Mercy towards other living entities. Huh? So here, it is said that Ahimsa pratishthayam tatsannidhau vairatyagaha. If you become peaceful, if you become non-violent in word, mind and deed towards others, everyone will become friendly towards you. So yogi becomes friends with anybody, even animals. And when Prabhupada came, if you see Rupa Goswami's, the six Goswami's, what does it say? Dhira dhira jana priya priya karo, means dhira dhira. Even the thieves and the others, they were all attracted by the six Goswamis, even though they were cheats and robbers and everybody. Why? Because they were, their qualities were transcendental, their qualities were spiritual. So Ahimsa, Satya, if you always speak the truth, can anybody tell me what is the benefit of speaking the truth? Nobody can catch you on a spy camera, right? No. It is said, Satya Pratishthayam Kriya Phala Shreyatvam. If you speak always the truth, whatever you speak, that will happen. That is the power. Like Srila Prabhupada, he said, let there be a temple. There was a temple. Right? Let there be mass distribution of prasadam, mass distribution of books, whatever Prabhupada said, it happened. Isn't it? So whatever a yogi, a true yogi speaks, says kalyanamastu, you know, that is why I take blessings, kalyanamastu. Kalyana will happen. Whatever he speaks will happen. So if you are always speaking the truth will, you know, protect. This, it will happen. Because the words, they have power. That is why when somebody gives shrap or this or that, you know, they are very fearful. So when you give good words, you know, good blessings, that blessings also, because the power, the potency you develop by always, by the power of yoga, by always speaking the truth, this helps. Asteya. Asteya means non-stealing. So non-stealing means, if you do not, steal, what is the benefit? Asteya pratishthayam, sarvaratnopasthanam. It is said, if one does not steal in life, if one takes only what is supposed to be given to him, if one is sincere, then sarvaratnopasthanam, he will get all the unlimited desired wealth. Everything will be at his disposal. For example, Srila Prabhupada, he might not have had $1 million bank account, but did he not have everything at his disposal? Everything here, isn't it? Book tickets, go somewhere as servants, temples, guest house, everything. Isn't it? Can you imagine? Aparigraha. This is very, very important. Aparigraha. Never covet others' riches. My neighbor has Mercedes. And I don't even have Mercedes. So we should have some, you know, I should have this, I should have that. My daughter, you know. So we are always coveting others' riches. And when we do that, what happens? We lose track of the goal of life. You know what is the benefit if we don't covet others' riches? If you don't even think what anybody else has, you are just focusing on what you have and how to use it in the service of Krishna. Not just to use others' money in service of Krishna, but use yourself and your whatever resources you have in the service of Krishna. Aparigraha sthariye janma katamta sambodha. If one becomes steady and does not think of others' riches or becomes envious, it is said your time of death will be revealed to you. You know, it was very common previously. Like my great-grandfather, he told everybody in the house, tomorrow I am going to die, we'll do bhajan. It was very common, like I am going to die, isn't it? You must have heard these stories. Gaur Gobind Maharaj, one of his senior gurus, his grandfather, he collected the whole village. Now, today evening I am going to die, everybody come. So everybody was doing kirtan bhajan and he left his body. Gaur Gobind Maharaj himself, of course in Mayapur, he left his body in front of everybody. So Krishna reveals to you, now it is the time, just like Katvanga Maharaj. The demigods asked Katvanga Maharaj, he was fighting on behalf of the demigods, and they asked him, what do you want? Says, how long do I have? They said, just one kshana, one moment. Immediately engaged his mind in the service of Krishna, he attained the spiritual world. So that is the power. So this knowledge, No matter you may have pension fund, insurance fund, it doesn't work. This knowledge is very special. But it can only be obtained by yoga, by the proper practice. By certain practices, you get certain result. Not that I do anything, I get any result. No. If you follow these things properly, you will get the proper result. Then the last one, brahmacharya. It is said, of course, brahmani charati iti brahmacharya. To walk on the path of Brahman is brahmacharya. And celibacy is very strict, very important. So with that, what do you get? You get immense strength, physical and mental strength to follow spiritual life. Then there comes niyama. Niyama means what earlier we discussed don'ts. Now we discuss do's. So what are the niyama? Is shaucha, santosha. Then swadhyaya, ishvara pranidhana. Shaucha means cleanliness. It is said one has to, if one wants to overcome sex desire, one has to be very clean. Very clean. Means you have to take bath at least twice a day. Very important. Because cleanliness is next to godliness, they say, right? So dirt, it is said when you are dirty, when you are unclean, physically or mentally or something, it is said this agitates. So that is why it makes the mind unstable. So that is why one has to be very clean, very systematic in how you keep your house, how you keep yourself clean, focused. You know, this is very, very important. So that is why it is said that shaucha swanjugupsa parai asamsargaha. One is not attracted to dirty things. One is not attracted to others' body. Because, you know, body is dirty, isn't it? We know, mucus, you know, smell, we all put that deo, this, that. And how can you be attracted to others' body? It is only stool, urine, but you are not able to see, isn't it? We are somehow attracted to the skin. Oh, it looks very nice, isn't it? So that attraction will go. It will not go out so easily. But if you daily maintain a cleanliness, so that is why previously all rishis, all houses, they had cows. And cow dung, when you smear, it's considered very clean. You know, backyard of a house when there is nice cow dung which is smeared. And you sit there, you know, it's very clean environment, isn't it? So now we use this spray to make clean. Cow dung is not there. So without cow, of course, there is a lot of disadvantage. A yogi means he should be next to the cow. Sanatan Goswami says that let cows be behind me, front of me, on all sides. So cow protection was actually our protection, not protection of cows. If you protect cows, cows will protect you. Dharmo rakshati rakshita. So this cleanliness is a very, very important thing. If some place is dirty, that means the consciousness of the person is dirty. Because when you are clean, you also keep things clean. Santosha. Santosha means satisfaction. What is satisfaction? Austerity of the mind, isn't it, in the Bhagavad Gita? So this santosha is the gateway to happiness. If you are unsatisfied with what you have, with your salary or with your position, you can never progress spiritually. You will never. Because until and unless I am satisfied with what I have, materially we should be done. That is the yogi. If I am only thinking of material progress, you will never think of spiritual progress. Whatever I get with my endeavor, that is fine. But like Kulavecha Sridhar, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, wonderful devotees, they were selling what? Leaf cups. That time leaf cups were almost free. With that little money, half of that he used to worship Ganga. And like little bit left, he used to use it for himself. This is the level. Of course, we are little conditioned. But the thing is, at one point, one has to say, no, now let me focus on spiritual life. And every day we spend, how many hours do you spend earning money? Including commuting?
12
hours, right? And how many hours do we sleep?
7, 8
hours, isn't it? And we eat, take shower, everything. And how much do we do spiritual life? Hardly anything, isn't it? So that is why, if you are not satisfied even after doing so much, where is the spiritual progress? Isn't it? We should ask, how much time are we actually giving to Krishna? And how are we progressing? Saucha Santosha Swadhyaya. The third is Swadhyaya. Swadhyaya means Swa-adhyaya. Swadhyaya doesn't mean the organization. Swadhyaya means actually Swadhyaya. Analysis of the self. Means reading scripture. Means reading the scriptures. How many of you read Bhagavad Gita every day? Now we know. Okay. Next. How many of you? Okay. Should I ask how many of you read Srimad Bhagavatam? Okay. Fine. So, we should read scriptures every day. Otherwise, we don't come. There is a transcendentalist, right? Prabhupada says there are three levels of transcendentalist. Vadanti tattva vidastattvam yajnana matvayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdhate. So those who are realizing the Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So a transcendentalist or a spiritualist, he is studying about himself. His relationship with Krishna. And what is the benefit? Svadhyayat Ishta Deva Samprayogaha. Your relationship with the Lord becomes very close. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that we should read the Srimad Bhagavatam. And without reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, we cannot expect any progress. The Bhagavatam is designed in such a way that as you read the first canto to the 12th canto, there is a gradual purification of the mind on all sides. Like Krishna says right in the 6th chapter, one should steady the mind from all sides. Means we have many spheres of thought. Emotional, you know, gross, subtle, all these kinds of thoughts processes. Some from our last life, some from, you know, future desires. This is not easy to be cleansed. All you have to do, like when you have cold, what do? You make that vapor up, isn't it? Steam. And you soak your mind into it, right? So that it removes everything. So similarly, all you have to do is read the Srimad Bhagavatam attentively and let it do its work. Krishna is the purifier. The example is given like a farmer. Right? A farmer is plowing a field. You know, getting a field, working on a field. Right parallel to that field is a river. Okay? Is a river. Now, the farmer, all he has to do to let that water into his field, what does he have to do? Just break the...
Dig the canal.
Yeah. What do you call that?
Dig the canal.
Yeah. Make a small canal and let the water in. Isn't it? So that is our situation. This body is the field of activity. Isn't it? Kshetra Kshetradnya. Where we put seeds. Right? And all we have to do, but we are blocking because of our ego. We are not surrendering unto the Lord. All we have to do, the Lord is merciful to everybody. Yes or no?
Yes.
Equally. It's not that he is merciful on somebody and who is not merciful. My guru is very lucky. Krishna is very merciful on him. No. He is merciful on everybody. Equally. We are not ready to take it. So just like a farmer opens, we have to just give up our ego. Anybody can. But if you take to that process very seriously. Hearing, chanting and reading. You have to read. Frankly speaking, I was reading some other books today. Somebody, you know, I was meeting today and he was giving me a lot of books from other places. I was reading. He said, read this, read this, read this. But it was so disturbing to read. You know, so-called spiritual books. They are giving you such diverse instructions and beating around the bush. You should meditate on the Lord. But how, it is not explained. I said, very nice. Bhakti means, you know, somebody has written about bhakti. And he said, you should do Rupa Dhyana of the Lord. Now, which Rupa? God knows. Banyan or what? There is no Rupa. There is no definition. Prabhupada has given us in his books everything in such wonderful detail. Such wonderful detail. Such clear detail. But are we taking advantage of it? Are we reading them every day? If we don't read them every day, then don't expect much progress. So like a farmer, he opens up the field, you know, making that just the way for the water to come in. You know, we should mold our life in such a way that we are able to do these activities. You know, Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj, how many of you have heard, I don't know. Some of you, most of you have heard, right? He's considered very knowledgeable. He's considered very knowledgeable and everything. And one devotee was telling me how he used to study. He used to, early morning, he used to do programs almost every day. Right? And he used to travel by train in Bombay local. You know how full it is, isn't it? You can't even move your body. He used to hold the book like this with his hand, you know, when hanging there, and he used to read. And he used to read like this. And that's how he studied. Did not lose any moment. What is the problem with us? Lack of interest, lack of intensity. Mrudu madhya adi matratvat. There are three levels of yogis. Mrudu. Okay, I am progressing. Prasadam is nice. That is keeping me floating. Something is happening. You go to temple, you feel better. Whole week I am with my friend, this, that. You know, one day I will take a break in the temple. Somehow I will be in spiritual, you know. That is okay. That is mrudu. Madhyama. Let me become a little bit serious now. Right? I am just, let me push. Let me try. Let me try. I am not sure whether I will be successful. The moment you decide like that, you know, things become a little tough. But Adimatratvat, Prabhupada has said 16 plus 4, 16 rounds chanting, 4 regulative principles, and sincerity. Right? Back to Godhead. 16 plus 4, back to Godhead. Prabhupada has told us, Acharya has told, I am going, I am ready. This life, I want to make it my last life. I am serious. I am done with it. Right? I don't want US citizenship anymore. Next life, even if given a chance. I want to be citizen of Vaikuntha. Isn't it? So, apply now. So, we have to become very serious. If we don't do this study, for whom are these books? These are for devotees, not just for distributing. Prabhupada said, my devotees are doing a very nice job. They are distributing my books, but they are not reading. Prabhupada used to say, they are not reading. So Prabhupada wanted disciples to read these books. The first time I met my Guru Maharaj, of course, Bhakti Raghava Maharaj always talks about Varnashrama, Varnashrama, Varnashrama. And the first time I met him, he gave me like a shocking statement. Not that it's the end all, but just he said, enough books have been distributed, Prabhu, because I used to love a lot of book distribution. He said, now it's time to read those books and develop those qualities. You know, so you have to develop those qualities. You have to be the book. Because people will read the book, that's fine. You know, our thing is, if I pass on the book, then that's up to him, his life. But our responsibility is to become those books, to develop those spiritual qualities. You identify a devotee, you identify a brahmana with the qualities. He's a devotee, that's it. You know, that shouldn't stop there. But when you describe about, say, any devotee in this, you know, nice devotee, you talk about their qualities. My God, his kirtans are so ecstatic. The way he, you know, presents Krishna is amazing. You know, it's like these things, the qualities. So we have to develop. And it's possible for all of you. I'm not telling something, you know, okay, that is, it's for anybody. Once Jayadvait Maharaj gave a class and he told that how the devotee should be. Then he said, Maharaj, what you said applies to full-time devotee. So Maharaj said, yes, everybody should be full-time devotee. Means to be a devotee, you need not be like full-time in temple, brahmacharya. No. To be a devotee is our own free will. Every moment one can apply. Just like, for example, Vaisheshika Prabhu, he talks about Bhagavatam study. You write a few shlokas in the morning, in nice paper, you know, small diary you keep with you always. You are standing in a line in a bank. Or standing in some line. Open that. Read one shloka. Put it back. You remember. Right? Anytime you are going somewhere, just read that. Very nice. For example, in the Bhagavatam, there are so many wonderful prayers when the devotees see Krishna. How do they offer those prayers? We don't even know one prayer. One devotee told me, suppose Krishna comes in front of you right now, what will you do? I'm confused. What should I do? How will I serve him? You know? Really? If Krishna comes right in front of you, what will you do? You know? So, we should be ready on how to serve, offering prayers. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, Namavidha, Bhakti. But all this will come with a culture. The culture of Bhakti. You know, reading, chanting, offering prasad. These three things a grahastha must do. Must do. A grahastha life is a andhakupa, they say, right? I'm also married, but you know, It is really, if Krishna is not in the center, it's very dangerous. We can become so relaxed that prasadam is taking us to Godhead. No, we have to be very serious. We have to take this life very seriously. And it's not that difficult. Just read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just make an attempt. Just listen. Make your, when you are driving in the car, you know, put earphones, whatever. Listen to Prabhupada's classes. Just listening. All you have to do is expose yourself to the spiritual radiation. Our cancer will be cured. Huh? It's very powerful. Hmm? So, what I'm trying to explain here, of course, then the yogi follows asanas. He steadies his body. He gets rid of his diseases. Asanas, his body becomes steady. And he becomes completely free from diseases. He becomes free from hunger and anger. Hmm? Bhakti Vikas Maharaj was giving a class, very beautiful. He said that yoga is not just to have pass stool and urine very nicely. No. Yoga is to stop passing stool and urine. Actually, a yogi means he is liberated soul. When Prabhupada talks about six Goswamis, they ate once a week. You know that, right? Only in the Sunday feast. No. They ate just one spoon of buttermilk. That's it. That is the level. Of course, Prabhupada said we are very practical. I cannot tell this, you know, only eat once a week. No. But we should be regulated. But we should know the goal. The whole goal, for example, okay, let me ask you. What is the purpose of food? Anybody knows?
Maintain the body.
Okay, that is the third. Anything else?
Nourish the soul.
Nourish the soul. Okay.
Body, mind and soul.
Body, mind and soul. Okay. Yes, that is about the mind. But Prabhupada says something very fantastic. If you have read the Bhagavad Gita, 17th chapter, 10th shloka, the first line of the purport. The food has three purposes. Prabhupada says, to increase the duration of life, ayushyam, to purify the mind, tejam, and to maintain, to increase bodily strength, arogyam. Can you imagine that food, eating, the activity of eating, prasadam, cooked in a proper way, purifies the mind, increases your duration of life? That is, if you, that's a separate seminar, I do a very separate 2 hour, you know, special diet seminar. We had one last week. I actually gave a seminar like this in Detroit, then all the devotees came to give Vrindavan just last weekend. And we had a diet seminar, practical. What are the things we can cook? And we had a nice seminar, and we had a deity dressing seminar. So all of you are also welcome. If you come many times, just let me know. Every weekend in summer, we'll be doing this, these workshops. So the process here is, he regulates the body, regulates the mind, pranayama. You know, by the way, Dhruva did, right, 6 months. Within 6 months, he could see Lord Vishnu. First month, he was eating once in a day, right? Second month, he started eating once a week. Third month, he was only drinking water. Fourth month, he was eating or drinking water very intermittently, once a week or something. And then, fifth month, he stopped eating, drinking. He was only living on bread. So he could stop his breath. Remember the principle. You can stop your mind. And then you can chant the mantra completely mentally. That is state of samadhi. We are not asking you to do that within 6 months. So, but at least the principle there is to control the body and control the mind. So if we follow this science nicely, instead of doing all that, what is the yogi doing? He's controlling, he's separating, he's steadying the body, controlling the senses, stopping the breath, and then he is focusing on trying to see the super soul. Trying to see the super soul. Very difficult process. But Prabhupada gave us a very simple process, isn't it? What does a devotee do? So this is the process. So devotional service, when the body and the mind, the senses, they are all engaged. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of Ambarish Maharaj, isn't it? He used his tongue to taste the prasadam, nose to smell the tulsi leaf, his ears to hear the glories of the Lord, his eyes to see the deity form, hands to serve the Lord, to clean the temple. So by using all these, And then attentive chanting, attentive and offenseless chanting. Remember this. Chanting cannot be like, you know, you are driving car on highway. Right? That is, no, it can be, right? It is the only time we are very attentive, isn't it? Today I realized that. It's the only time we are actually very attentive. Because if you miss a little bit, that's it, right? You have to call insurance. Huh? So similarly, when chanting, we have to also be very attentive. Because there is, how to be attentive, I'll give a few tips at the end. So now what happens is, when he does offenseless and attentive chanting, a devotee, he is pleasing the super soul within the heart. When he does that, the super soul is pleased. When the super soul is pleased, when the Lord is pleased, he actually gives you very strong intelligence. The Lord gives a devotee very strong intelligence. And with that intelligence, you are able to perceive you are the spirit soul. So this intelligence, so this mantra is actually to please the Lord. So we should, that is the highest attitude. You cannot, it's not like just some blind mantra. Mantra means we are chanting with proper feeling, with proper attention. So we should develop that taste. Right now we don't have that taste. Isn't it? When we develop that taste, how does that taste come? By attentiveness. If you see a yogi, how focused he is. Right? To slowly conquer the body, mind. Here all that we are doing, Prabhupada said, chanting, dancing and feasting. He has made it so simple. Reading the books, following the process very sincerely. If you do, chant very seriously, chant attentively. See the change in your mind. See the change in your mind. See the change in your consciousness. And of course, the best is if you can chant early morning. Early morning. Really giving your best. Early morning. Really working hard, attentively hearing. So this process of purification, of pleasing the Lord by chanting the mantra for His satisfaction, for the satisfaction of the Lord. Even Patanjali says in the Yoga Sutra, he says, Tad japak tadartha bhavanatham. Forget. Even bhakti, even in the yoga process, it is said one should chant for the pleasure, for His satisfaction. So, what are the problems that we encounter while chanting?
Distraction,
right? So, distraction means mind goes somewhere, isn't it? It goes to New York, right? It goes to Boston, goes into TV, goes to children, goes everywhere. What are the things that we can do while chanting? What are the techniques? Right? So we'll discuss that. So, first thing is, one of the things that I mean many devotees, I read a lot of books by our senior devotees before I started thinking about anything, because we should already see what our acharyas and our gurus have provided us with. And that itself was sufficient material. If you read actually Bhurijan Prabhu's book, very beautiful. So that is, in that, some very important points. First thing, when you sit to chant, right? When you sit to chant, you have to understand one thing. I am not this body, I am spirit soul. That is your first thing. Because when we sit to chant, we are like 22 hours, we are in our material consciousness and we carry the same consciousness and the mind is still identified there. And it takes some time to settle down. So first, cool down. Take few deep breaths, relax and understand I am not this body, I am spirit soul. I am Atma. And why am I chanting? To actually realize this Atma. There is no other purpose. I am not chanting for a better job, better children, better this, better that. No. That Krishna will provide. Here is the question of faith. If I chant attentively, the highest purpose of everything is served. Second thing is, no emergency. Krishna will take care of everything if I sincerely hear and chant. You know the story of Narsingh Mehta, right? All of you know the story of Narsingh Mehta. In short, Narsingh Mehta's daughter was supposed to be married. He's a poor man. So his wife tells, go to the neighboring village, get your friends and relatives and get some bhoga. So what does he do? He goes to the neighboring village, sits in a Bhagavad Katha. He loses himself there. But when he comes back after a week, he realizes, oh my God, my wife, daughter's marriage just happened. If the date has gone by, what shall I do now? So when he goes back to his village, everybody is saying, what a nice marriage you did. He says, what happened? 1 week I was sitting there.
My daughter's marriage date went happened. So he came back to his house. His wife is very happy. My husband, you have done such a nice job. Congratulations. So then he understands that Krishna became his duplicate. He came and he took care of the whole marriage. And he did it even better. So similarly in that mood, when we chant, just surrender. This is your puja. This is your surrender. Your mind, you are completely surrendering. Krishna, there is something called abhinivesha, strong attachment to this material existence. So when you chant, the mind doesn't want you to chant. Mind is telling, no, go there, go here, do this, do that. Mind cannot take the holy name pounding it. So it is trying to escape, it is trying to give you a different thought. So what you should do? You should pull the mind back. And the focus is one mantra at a time. One mantra at a time. Burijan Prabhu tells this very beautifully. He says, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Have I heard the 16? Even, I have seen that even when we stop one mantra and go to the next one, in between one big thought will come. And that will carry you away, isn't it? You are always carried away. But that will carry you away, even if you are trying to concentrate. So, we have to steady ourselves after every mantra. And mind wants to like, when will this finish? When will my lungs finish? Isn't it? We are all seeing. But you have to be ready to take that pain. Because mind has to eternally chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Next. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you are concentrating on each mantra exclusively, attentively, right? So then what happens? You are refocusing after each one, and then your concentration after some time, this becomes a habit. Some practice you start, after some time it becomes a habit, isn't it? Anything you start practice for a long time, it becomes a habit. The Yoga Sutra states, Satu Dirga Kala Nairantarya Satkara Sevita Dada Bhumihi. If you want to be successful in yoga, Satu Dirga Kala, be ready for long term practice. Right? Yoga means like tomorrow, you know, I'll achieve success. No. Be ready for long term practice. Till when? Till when? Till the point of death, right? That's when the exam is. So, that's it. Our bond is signed till the point of death. Nairantarya. Okay, I've chanted 16 rounds, enough number of days. Let me take a vacation. Can you think like that? No. Every day. So it is like a yogi means surrender. No matter what happens, my yoga practice will go on. Satkara Sevita, you understand the principle behind the practice very nicely. Why am I doing this? To please Krishna. What is the benefits? You understand this very clearly. That is why you have to study the scriptures. Without hearing, you cannot progress. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his six Goswamis to Vrindavan to take the essence of the scriptures. How many of you have read Upadeshamrita?
Nectar of
Instruction. Nectar of Instruction, yeah. Yeah, how many of you have read? Yeah. In that there is one shloka, right? Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lolyamcha shadvir bhakti vinashati, right? In the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, the same book, the same shloka is present, written by Swatmarama. He says, Atyahara Prayasascha Prajalpo Niyamagraha Janasangascha Laulyamcha Shadvir Yoga Vinashyati. And Utsaha Nishchaya Dairya Tattva Jnanascha Nishchaya. He says, Janasangha Parityaga Shadvir Yoga Prasidhyati. This is in Next of Instruction as well as Hatha Yoga Pradipika. So what does it mean? The principle of yoga, sense control, mind control, it is the same. So if you see by all different activities, the yogi is trying to achieve sense and mind control. So similarly, all our activities that are there are supposed to give us sense and mind control. The stage of liberation that a yogi achieves, by practicing all that, we can achieve the same thing by bhakti. The whole process of this going to Himalaya, stopping your breath, stopping your mind, everything, just by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra attentively, you will get more benefits than that. You are achieving the highest goal. Actually, that is why Prabhupada says this. Bhakti is actually activities of a liberated soul. That is why when Sukadeva Goswami, he was in Brahmananda, he was in liberated, but he was not a devotee yet. When he heard one shloka from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Aho Bhakiyam Stanakala Kutam, that shloka, when he hears that, all of you know that shloka, right? No. Aho Bhakiyam Stanakala Kutam, Jigam Sayapa Yadapiya Sadavi, Leve Katim Dhatri Uchitam Tatolyam, Kimba Dayalam Sharanam Vrajema. Vyasadeva sees his son is running away, that liberated soul is running away, so he sends one devotee to chant this shloka. So it says, Aho Bhakiyam, Bhaka, his sister is Bhaki. Stanakala kutam, on her breast she has put the poison, kalakuta poison. Jigam saya paya yadapi asadavi. What is she? She is asadavi. She is a cheat in the form of a mother. Leve gatim dhatri uchitam tatonyam. But what did Krishna do? He gave her the position of mother. It is said, when she saw Krishna, although she had poison, because when she saw Krishna, first Krishna took the poison. Then some milk came from her breast. And Krishna took that milk. And then he elevated her to the spiritual world. Because for a moment she thought, oh, beautiful. You know, that little bit, you know, Krishna took the essence. So when Sukadeva Goswami heard this, who can be more merciful? He becomes immediately attracted to Krishna. This man is transcendental. So similarly, the process of yoga, bhakti, we have been given a very nice, the best format. The best you can even imagine in all the universe. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. He has given us the yoga of love. Chanting Hare Krishna attentively. One mantra at a time. Very simple. I will not go very deep into this. Just here. One mantra. One mantra is over. Next mantra. Next mantra. Next mantra. Next mantra. Till your 16 is done. Keep going at it. Keep practicing. And you see, the mind, you just see Hare Krishna. Imagine the beads to be the lotus feet of the Lord. You are catching hold of the lotus feet of the Lord. You are chanting for His satisfaction. And you are hearing attentively. And when you hear every mantra that you hear attentively, it will have an effect on the heart. Otherwise it will not even reach the heart. Right? Okay? Alright. So this is how a devotee tries to achieve perfection. Then of course, prasadam is anyway there. We don't need attention. That will come with great attention. So please try to understand this wonderful science. If we follow it very strictly, very nicely, chanting very nicely, reading every day, or hearing one class from Prabhupada, reading one shloka, hearing one class, all these things will enhance our practice. And you will see the results over a period of time. You will become successful. Alright? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.